Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2020 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and the U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the third quarter of 2020. We're going to start with a summary of the financial numbers of Arauco in page four. You can see that our revenues came up to be $1.2 billion. That is almost 15% higher than the second quarter of 2020. Our net income was this time a gain of $36 million. It's a change from the negative $56 million that we obtained in the second quarter of 2020. In terms of adjusted EBITDA, we increased our EBITDA in 41%, and we obtained $291 million of EBITDA for this quarter. Our net leverage went down from 5.9 to 5.4 times, and that is because our free cash flow allow us to decrease our net debt or in a little bit more than $100 million. And also because of the last 12 month EBITDA was 6.2% higher, and that helped us in the determination of the ratio. So all in all, it was a good quarter compared with the second quarter that was probably the worst in the year. If we go to page five and start talking a little bit about our revenues that were 15% higher than the second quarter, we saw a decrease in the revenues of the pulp division of 6%, mainly driven by a decrease in sales volume. But we saw a huge increase in the revenues coming from the wood product division. It was a 34.4% increase that was obtained basically because of a 33% increase in sales volume and some let's say average prices, but stable average prices, but with some increases, especially in plywood. This was a strong rebound from the second quarter, where we saw the worst part of this COVID-19 crisis affecting the sales of wood products in our markets. If you look there, for example, our wood product division almost got 60% of the sales in the last quarter. In terms of cost of sales, since we had an increase in volume, especially the wood product division, we got an increase in total cost of sales of 8.5%, that is $68 million. And the main contributors to that increases were timber cost and forestry labor cost. But in case of unitary cost for pulp, for example, we saw a reduction in unitary cost of production for softwood, bleach pulp, hardwood, and bleach, and this was basically driven by high production and less maintenance cost. So our cost of sales went up to $868 million for the third quarter. In page six, we had a $7 million reduction in administrative expenses quarter over quarter, We had reductions in donations and contributions for 5.3 million. Since we had an abnormal increase in the second quarter of computer services, this time was more normal, and that is reflecting a reduction quarter over quarter. And we had a small increase in wages, salaries, and severance indemnities of $2.2 million, offsetting the decrease that we saw in the other lines of the administrative expenses. So overall, $123 million in SG&A for the quarter. Distribution cost went up 5.5%, again, because of the increase in volume that was in the wood product division. So this is a $6 million increase to $130 million. In page 7, the other income line decreased by almost $15 million. That is 22%. But the main explanation for that is that in the second quarter, we had this one-time $21 million other income related to the accounting of the recovery of tax credits in Brazil associated with VAT. The compensating part for that is that we had an increase in gains from changes in fair value of biological assets of $5.7 million. So the total number went down from $68 to $53 million in the line of other income. In other expenses, we saw a reduction from 57 to 33, and this is basically explained by a decrease in impairment provision for property, plant, and equipment. Here we have a less deterioration than of assets than in the second quarter, and also a recalculation of the pace that we are deteriorating line one of Arauco. So that came to a decrease in the line of other expenses. The compensating part for that decrease was a $13.8 million increase in losses forest. This is basically related to a $8.5 million loss that we accounted for as a fire that affected our forest in Mato Grosso do Sul in Brazil. So that is the main part of that. The rest is our minor normal deteriorations that we do in our forest. Now on page 8, as we look at the total income statement, we can highlight here that our gross profit went up 34% from $250 million to $335 million. We had a reduction in financial income that again is associated with an abnormal financial income in the second quarter because of the portion of the interest that was associated with the VAT recuperation in Brazil. And also we can show here, even though it's a small number, that we changed from $2 million negative in participation loss profit of associate to a 1.3 gain, basically because of better results in our associates, especially in Zona Arauco. Again, this time we are paying taxes instead of recovering or accruing for recovery in taxes because of the better and positive result in income before tax. Page 9, looking at the evolution of the EBITDA, we can see that the first and second quarter were the worst part of the year, where we hit numbers of around 200 million. And now we are up to 291. So we see the trend in the increasing EBITDA and also an increase in EBITDA margin going back to levels of 24-25% that we saw at the end of during the beginning of 2019. If you look at the table there, you can see that maybe for the first time, the EBITDA of the wood product division is higher than the pulp division. So we obtained $141 million. EBITDA, and that is a reflection of the very good sales volume, margin, and prices that we are seeing currently also in the wood product division. You can see the evolution there and the increase of $74 million in quarter over quarter in the wood product division, the increase in pulp because of lower cost of production on lower sales, and a small decrease in forestry, and so on, and an increase in consolidation and adjustment. The explanation is written there. I mean, the most significant part is the increase in the wood product division that is based on higher volumes and some increases in prices. Going more into the details of our two main divisions, pulp and wood products. In page 11, we can see the graph of the evolution of the index of prices, and we can see here that we were most of the year with stable prices in long fiber and short fiber, and we saw an increase in BSKP, in long fiber, starting in September, October, that we're going to discuss on the graph later on, and a small decrease at the beginning of the quarter in hardwood. Currently, the gap between the both fibers is very high. It's $150. Last quarter was $121 on the index, and that is something that we have been seeing here as prices for softwood has been going up and prices of hardwood staying quite stable. And that probably is a reflection of also the changes in the supply curves of the marginal producers in softwood and hardwood, and some part really reflecting the more supply in hardwood coming to the market. We can look at the growing of demand variation and highlight as of August, the first 8 months of the year, we are seeing a 4.6% increase and 8% increase in demand coming from China. In terms of inventories, currently we are about 42, 43 days in both fibers. If we look at a quarter ago, the numbers are quite stable. In terms, if you look at a year ago, we have a big decrease in hardwood and some increase in softwood, from 35 to 42 days in softwood, and for 61 days coming down to 43 days in hardwood. Page 12, looking at the evolution during the quarter in the pulp division, as we talk of, we had an increase in 8.6% in EBITDA. Of course, that is a 30% decrease compared to 1 year ago, where we had better prices. And the changes in the EBITDA are explained by 5.1%, sorry, in sales, 5.1% in volume, and 2.2% decrease in price. Over a year ago, prices were 9% higher than this time. If you look at the graph of production, you can see there that this quarter we had higher production and lower sales, and that stayed in an increase in our stocks of pulp. One reason for that is the increase in the dissolving pulp stock, because we are ramping up production and with lower sales and production at the beginning. But the other explanation is an increase basically in hardwood of stocks. If we look at how the quarter was in terms of demand, we can highlight that the quarter began with lower demand, basically due to seasonality effects because of the summer. The good news were that there was a decrease in supply of the market because some of the maintenance were postponed during COVID in some markets, and also because some integrated paper producers or dissolving pulp producers decided to switch back for producing paper grade. They were, because of the lower prices of dissolving, they were producing paper grade, and since prices start to go up in dissolving, they start to switch back to their original product. In terms of the balance, nevertheless, the supply was below demand, and that ended up in keeping prices quite stable on a quarterly basis. We saw a decline in tissue demand, partially offset by increasing in printing and writing. So as the people start the opening a little bit the economies in Northern Hemisphere, there was an increase in printing and writing, and a decrease in tissue. In terms of China, we observe increases in demand, but prices remain stable due to seasonality and also higher levels supply inventories, especially in hardwood. You can see the evolution in prices. We saw a $10 increase in softwood, but we saw a decrease in hardwood at the end of the quarter of $10, reaching about $450 in China. In page 13, if we talk a little bit about the outlook, we have seen better news. As you can see in the graph below, we saw a very big increase in 1 month of the prices for softwood. We were able to increase $40 from September to October. And we also were able to confirm very good prices in dissolving pulp. We were able to close deals for $680 per ton. That was an increase of $45 in 1 month. In this case, for November. And also in softwood, we were able to increase another $10 for November and also for hardwood. The other good market was unbleached, which we're not showing the graph there, but we were able to increase $60 from September to November. So prices for softwood, meaning bleach and unbleached, are increasing with good demand. Dissolving pulp also, but eucalyptus is the one that is increasing less, basically because for more availability of supply. So that's why we expected for the coming month to have stable prices increases. Of course, a stronger recovery for unbleached because of the usage in packaging and construction as the sales, the online sales continue increasing, and we are seeing some recovery also in construction. We are expecting also a strong improvement in dissolving pulp. In Europe, we expect prices to remain stable. The COVID-19 is starting the second wave in the northern hemisphere in Europe, so we could have some closings there that affected demand. And in China, we have higher demand, but we're expecting stable prices, especially in VHKP, because we expect to have some pressure to high levels of supply, especially as the season for maintenance has stopped, and we're going to see more shipments coming. You can see in the graph also the gap, $155 between softwood and hardwood, is $615 compared to $460. And on the table on the right side, we are seeing the stoppages, the plant stoppages during these quarters. As you can see, in the third quarter, we had only the Valdivia stoppage for 7 days. That is finished. In the second quarter, we had Aldea. So we had more production capacity available in the third quarter than the second quarter. In the fourth quarter, we're going to have higher maintenance because we already completed the Constitución and the Alto Paraná mill, but we are now in the middle of the annual stoppage of Montes de Plata, which has for us a 700,000 ton capacity. So this is a 13-day stoppage that started on November the 8th, so that's why production could be less. And that will, of course, help decrease the stocks as we move to the end of the year. The next year, we are showing there the maintenance that we have planned for the first and the second quarter. Just to mention, in terms of things helping to increase prices also are the exchange rates. We have seen an appreciation of the exchange rate in China and also in Europe, so that has helped to push for price increases, especially in China. Now, moving to wood products in page 14, you can see there the huge increase in EBITDA based on an increase of 40% in volume in panels and 20% in solid wood. And that is basically what we are seeing is a strong rebound from what we thought it was probably an overreaction in closing down capacity because the demand stopped very sharply in the markets that were closed because of COVID-19. But once the capacity demand start to appear very quickly as people staying at their homes look at their houses and think of doing repairs and remodeling, and the demand for panels, for furniture, for desks, for having home offices, and also for construction somehow exploded and in all the markets, and that help push prices up, and some of the producers were having problems also in producing with COVID-19. So that helps us increase demand in our factories, on our mills, in some of the markets that were, before the pandemic, probably working at 80% capacity. And during the pandemic, they went down to 40% or even some places stopped for the whole month. Now they're working 24/7 and 100% capacity. So it's good news. We are enjoying this, as you can see in this quarter, and as we're going to see in the outlook, it's already continuing, and we hope that will continue for some time. In some timber, sales increased 20%. Strong retail in the U.S., retail channels, and recovery for economic activity. And also plywood prices reached record prices, and there was an increase of 14.5% during the quarter. Page 15, you can see the changes in sales and production from the second quarter in panels. Some timber, we didn't have so much change in production, but a lot of change in sales. And in plywood, we continue selling more or less the same. Production went up a little bit in the third quarter in anticipation of higher demand coming from our U.S. retail operation. And that's going to be reflected in higher sales volume in the fourth quarter. Page 16, now looking at the future here, the outlook of what's going on in this quarter and the near future. Our main market, North America, which is 50% of our sales, is behaving very well. Particleboard and MDF has a very successful quarter, but we in the third quarter, but we expect that this market condition will remain probably up to the first quarter of 2021. There are strong repair, remodeling, new construction segments added to logistical supply chains for some of competitors. Of course, the situation is subject to a potential impact of a second wave that we don't know if it's going to affect more closures in the economic demand, but we think that people probably are anticipating staying more time at their homes and doing the repairs right now. In remanufactured products, a very active market in the U.S., LATAM, and Oceania continue to experience high-level consumption. There are also some reduced supply coming from China due to import duties that have also tightened the market in the U.S. In plywood, as we talk, the demand has steadily increased during the past month. We have prices at record levels, but we are seeing some stabilization in those prices at a very good level even though. Looking at the housing start index, we saw a sharp decrease during the pandemic, but now we are back to the 1.4 million houses a year, and that trend will continue as people are contemplating buying more houses and less apartments in the view of working from home, not only because of staying at home because of the pandemic, but with the ability to dedicate part of their time working from a better place than an apartment close to their offices. So we are optimistic about that. In page 17, more or less in Central and South America, which is Brazil, Chile, and Argentina, we saw more or less the same thing. Demand stronger than supply, or mills working at 100% capacity. Very good demand even in Argentina. People probably with a mix of higher real demand and also looking for places to buy something with their pesos that are probably not worth a lot compared with buying things that could somehow resemble dollars, and we were able to increase prices, compensating the devaluation and also inflation. We are expecting volumes and prices to remain stable in the coming month in Brazil, Argentina, and Chile, and in all markets. And of course, in the case of Chile, there's some uncertainty coming from the new political environment in terms of the elections that we're going to hold for modifying the constitution. But anyway, at least the market for construction in Chile is very tight. There's some news of short supply in the retail market for wood because of the demand that is happening right now. In the rest of the market, which are less important, as in the case of Asia, 11%, we are seeing also improvements, in the demand for wood products. Now moving to page 18 and looking a little bit about the free cash flow. As we had a better EBITDA, we were able to show a positive free cash flow of $335 million that helped us decrease our net debt. We had a good working capital variation and other receipts from cash coming from returns of taxes and VAT that we are covering from investment that helped us compensate a higher capex that was $453 million. That is because basically of MAPA, of gaining more pace in the construction, and that helped us deliver a good quarter. Of course, we had the capital injection from Empresas Copec that is shown there in the line of cash from financing activities that produced $250 million of excess cash that helped us decrease our net debt. In the graph there, it shows the free cash flow compensated by some direct payments that we are doing through the ECA that is adding debt and it's not shown in the capex. Some exchange rate variation and that produced a $4.9 billion in net debt for the third quarter. Moving to page 19, the evolution of the net debt and the leverage, we were able to break the trend and now starting to go down. We expect that as EBITDA continues to go to improve, we think in the coming quarters we're going to be improving our last 12 month EBITDA, and that will continue to bring down the leverage as we move into now 2021. Our cash and cash equivalents went down from 1.2 billion to 1.1 billion, so very strong liquidity anyhow. Help, of course, because of by the capital injection, and that was basically the main cost. Our total debt stood at $6 billion gross debt. Page 20. This is the amortization schedule that we have. For the rest of the year, not very big things, basically $57 million in bank loans and some leasings that we accrue in our financial statements. For 2021, we already did the job of prepaying the bonds that were due on that year, so we only have $254 million. From those, $210 are basically bank debt, and most of it is associated with the payments of the remaining of the ECA, the Montes de Plata, that they pay with their cash flows. The rest of the year, 360 for 2022, so big, not big enough, and the big payment comes only in 2024. That we will probably refinance before getting close to that big amortization. Now, finalizing in our material facts and news. The first New York we already talked about, we executed the capital injection, so the $250 million came in September, and now they are in our cash. The intention, of course, was to strengthen the Arauco financial position, and remember that we have an approved total capital injection for $700 million, the rest to be done during 2021, depending on the conditions of the market and the strength of our balance sheet. Page 23, as we talk, our liquidity is very strong. Apart from the $1.1 billion that we ended up in September, we had this unused credit facility, the community credit facility for $375 million that we didn't use during the pandemic, and it is good for 5 years. We recently renewed it in February this year. So the total liquidity of the company is $1.5 billion that is enough for doing the project that we are doing and also for the payments of our obligations. Finally, in page 24, a little bit about the MAPA project update. As of September, we had a 63.2 advance in the project. We are showing a recent photo over there. I was in the site about 2 weeks ago, and it's quite impressive the level of work that to be done there. We had more than 8,000 people working at the site, four construction companies, vendors. We are mounting the equipment. The pace of construction there is quite good, and a lot of commitment from everyone to continue producing under these difficult circumstances of the pandemic. What we have done is that we have been testing a lot. I mean, in order to prevent any contagious, we started testing more than 1,000 PCR tests every day in order to contain the probably contagious of people and making them do quarantines. And we recently optimized the way we do the test, and now we are doing on-site, because before that we had to go to other places in buses to do the test, and that was involving some kind of delay in the reincorporation of people to the work. And now we have 5 on-site test centers on-site, and we are delivering the results very quickly, in a matter of hours. So we are very optimized way of testing our people there. So we have done more than 50,000 PCR tests to our workers, and the positivity rate has been significantly lower than the national rate. So we are very happy with the level of detection that we are getting on site. So a lot of efforts in containing any possible contagious of our workers in MAPA. Page 25, the risk of any stoppage because of quarantines in the region has decreased a lot, because the government has authorized construction projects such as MAPA to continue even in quarantine zones, which is not the case right now, but in the case that the county of Arauco starts a quarantine, we're going to be able to continue producing construction the project, of course, under defined procedures and complying with the strict sanitary standards. Most of them we are already doing it, and so we don't have any problem complying with the standards that we have to do. So we have subcontractors, basically construction companies. We have taken action and we enacted measures to generating protocols. So we have to reorganize the MAPA working system, not right now, but from the beginning. We have to, for example, take measures of social distances. So that meant having more buses in order to have the distance between people in the buses, to expand the canteens in order to for lunch, the people where people change clothes, lockers, so that all that became in some loss of productivity that we have to be experiencing, so somehow trying to compensate. But now we projected that for the end of the project, that we have still for that 40% that we still have to go, and we think now that the most probably the date of start will be at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2021. So that we thought in the last quarter we was going to be around the mid of 2021, which is probably July. Now we're thinking more at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2021. That is a reflection of the loss of productivity because of the effort that we're doing to try to avoid contagions of COVID-19 to the more than 8,000 workers on site. And that is more realistic, and we think we're going to be able to get there. And so that will mean that the project will start producing in the fourth quarter, and so a reduction in the estimated sales for 2021, but we think that we will be able to have a very good startup process, because we're going to have more time to dedicate that, and that could compensate somehow the loss of production. Of course, since we have moved the startup date of MAPA, we also have moved the closure of line one. That is, originally the line one was going to stop together with the start of line three. So that will be June, for example. Now we're moving more close to the end of September. So we have compensated some of the loss of production with the continuous production of line one. And that is one of the things that affected the other income, because we extended the period of deterioration of line one, and that so we are now deteriorating less accountably every month of line one. So that is what I have for the presentation. So I would like now to open to questions if you like. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you ask your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question is from George Staphos with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Gianfranco, thanks for all the details and congratulations on the quarter. I've got two questions, and I'll turn it over because I know you have a lot of other people on the line. First of all, can you talk to what's been driving the pricing dynamic in dissolving pulp, why we've seen such a nice spike in that market? And related on pricing, what is your expectation, if you can comment, on hardwood pricing to China? I think you had it at $460. Is your expectation that pricing will move to the overall market level of $470 that's been targeted, by producers in the market for November? So that's question one, those two parts. The second question on production, was it your expectation that you would produce 100,000 tons greater than sales? Was that planned, or did volume not quite materialize as you'd expected? And if so, can you talk to what the weakness in volume was relative to whatever your production plan and budgeting would have been for the third quarter? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, George. Well, what is driving dissolving pulp increase? I mean, I remember that it was about $630, the price that we had in dissolving, and went up to $680. Of course, it was another time, but prices of dissolving were about $900. And I remember that normally the spread between hard paper grade and dissolving was about $300, more or less. And we were at some point much lower than that. This time, we are about $220 difference between hardwood and dissolving pulp. So it's getting there. I've also heard some stories of more demand coming from viscose manufacturers that are getting more demand for textile as some of the seasons for the new wardrobe and textiles are revamping. So that is something that could be pushing prices up. Of course, we know that there's some swing capacity from hardwood paper grade to dissolving, so that tends to soften a little bit the price increases. And you also have this long-term trend of using more natural fibers that, of course, should put more demand in dissolving pulp as we move away from plastic grade like polyester, things like that. We think that is probably the fiber of the future in terms of manufacturing textile. So that's why we feel optimistic about dissolving pulp. Also, the response from our clients of our product has been very good. I mean, the quality that we have been able to deliver from our mill has been excellent. So we are getting a lot of purchase orders from our clients, and so that's why we're optimistic that prices could continue to go up from the level that we are seeing right now. In terms of hardwood, it's a bit more difficult to see because there's a lot of supply coming. I mean, some of our Brazilian competitors have been increasing production and decreasing their stocks, so a lot of volume coming, and we are not sure how the pace of recovery will happen in hardwood. We think that we should go month by month trying to increase a little bit the prices. But we're going to see if demand is there. It's more hard to read the market there because there's a big producer in the market, and we don't know what the strategy of them will be in terms of prices. In terms of our increasing stock or more production than demand, I think it was more related to increasing production because of lower maintenance compared to the second quarter. And also because the fourth quarter, we're going to have more maintenance. So we are preparing, producing more, selling less, I mean,
okay,
in order to prepare for the reduction in stocks, especially in Monte de Plata. And also, as I mentioned, since we're ramping up production of dissolving pulp, and we had a very good production, we were increasing stocks. But currently, we are reducing. I mean, as of October, we already have reduced stocks. So we are in the path of getting to normal levels at the end of the year. And if you measure it in terms of days of supply, it's not that big. I mean, we are probably 30, 35 days of supply. It's quite normal for a company that's very far away from the markets, so because we're adding all the stocks that are in our mills and also traveling by sea.
Gianfranco, if I could, though, so was your production, was your inventory build, and was your demand as expected in the third quarter, or was it better or worse than expected if you thought about those? Thank you very much, and good luck in the quarter.
Thanks. I cannot really say if we were expecting to be that the demand, because it happens as we negotiate prices, and normally it depends on the delivery of a big vessel at the end of the quarter. So it's very hard to say we're expecting that buildup of inventory. But it's something that we can manage. It's nothing that we are building inventory to do something with the prices. And we expect that we're going to end up, as always, selling more or less what we produce every year. So it shouldn't be something significant at the end of the year.
Thank you very much, Gianfranco.
The next question is from Carlos de Alba with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Gianfranco. Thank you. So I have a few questions. First, just maybe to continue on the market, do you have any color as to what are the pushbacks from your hardwood customers when you're trying to increase prices? I mean, clearly, we're very close or below marginal cost of production. The currencies, as you mentioned, are moving in favor of pulp producers, at least relative to the Chinese customers. So what are the pushbacks that you guys are hearing when you're trying to implement a price hike? Also, more related to the company, what sort of level for administrative expenses can we expect going forward? And finally, when do you think the company is going to make the decision on the potential second part of the equity injection from the holding company in 2021? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Carlos. Well, since I'm not part of the commercial team, I don't have any fresh information about the real pushback. Of course, it's a negotiation that is done every month, so there's different reasons, but I think we haven't pushed so high in terms of getting asking for a big increase and getting a low increase. We are being cautious because we understand the level of inventory, but I don't have an exact client-by-client, let's say, description of what they are arguing about of not accepting a higher price increase. We have been very cautious. I mean, asking for $10 increase, and we have been able to obtain that. So I think we have been very quite successful in terms of a strategy of getting price increases. Of course, with a big competitor that holds 30% of the market, and it's quite opaque what they are doing in terms of price strategy. So we're somehow alone pushing prices in the market. So, but I mean, we are being cautious and quite successful, I think. In terms of SG&A, I think you should expect a lower SG&A. I mean, this year has been low, and quarter over quarter you're going to see that the level of SG&A has been low because of, I mean, less traveling, depreciated exchange rates, and an effort to contain expenses that we started once we for the low prices scenario that we had in the first half of the year. We recently ended up a program for reducing cost, SG&A cost in Arauco. So we were successful in reducing a level of SG&A. So you should expect lower SG&A for 2021. And I think at least maintaining the levels that you're going to see in the coming quarters, because we expect to continue tightening the expenses in order to be competitive as a company. In terms of when we're going to decide for the capital increase, I think that probably at the end of the year we're going to have more information about the trends for the beginning of the year. We are, of course, at this time optimistic because of what we have seen in wood products, but We need to find out if the trend is going to continue in 2021. We are quite optimistic with the beginning of 2021. I think the first quarter, probably the second quarter, because there's some inertia in terms of the sales and good products. But we think that probably at the end of the year, beginning of next year, we're going to have more information now with our budget completed that we are finalizing in the coming days. And we're going to assess the necessity of the capital increase. But I think in 1 or 2 months, probably.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Hernan Kislyuk with MetLife. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on the results. I have two questions. The first one is on the wood product division, which had an exceptionally strong performance in the third Q. I think it was almost a record high for the last maybe at least 5 years or so. Also, your comments on the outlook for the fourth quarter are also, they look promising. But what I would like to know is, should we expect a performance as strong as it was in the third Q, or should we expect now a moderation, maybe trending back to normal levels that we have seen in the previous quarter, or maybe in previous years, the previous quarters that were affected by the coronavirus. So this is my first question. The second one is in relation to the rating agencies and the delay that you are reporting on MAPA project. I wonder if the agencies are expressing any kind of concerns with that delay, because it was one of the things that I know that they have been monitoring and that they have been expecting for the company to ramp up production to get this new pulp tonnage to reduce leverage. So I would like to know if you have had any conversations with them so far.
Okay, thanks, Hernan. Yes, I mean, the wood product division has been had a very good third quarter record, I think. But we have seen, I mean, in this month of October and November, that the trend continues, and I think that should be also a good quarter. We are not expecting returning to normal yet. We hope that we'll continue for a long time, but as of today, and we think that probably until the beginning of next year, so the first quarter of this year, we think that the conditions in the market should stay more or less the same. So we are as optimistic as the result that we saw in the third quarter. Of course, I don't like to give projections, but we think that it's going to be good enough. So we're optimistic about that. In terms of the rating agencies, of course, we have talked to all of them, telling them that the project was going to be delayed to the beginning of the fourth quarter. We have explained them the effects that would take. We have shared projections with them also. But since we are having better results than we thought, that we think also that probably on average, the next year will be better in terms of pricing for pulp. The efforts that we're doing in containing costs, the capital injections, and I think we have been disclosed to all of them that things are going better than we thought. The trend is good. The economies are recovering from COVID-19. We had recently very good news from pharmaceutical companies announcing promising vaccines for the COVID. So I think that the optimistic in the market, our results that we have shown are compensating the delay in MAPA because of the effect in the EBITDA. But also. The delay in MAPA has pushed some of the capex to the future, so smoothing a little bit the capex expenses through 2021 and some of them a little bit to 2022. The exchange rate has helped us also. Our budget for the project were done at exchange rates that were 6.50, for example, for the Chilean peso, and now we that we are 7.60 per dollar. The euro also we hedge at a better rate than we are seeing now. So and we also made good deals in buying the equipment, so we saved some money. So the impact in the total capex is not going to be very significant. And so we have expressed all to them, and they're expecting to see how we end 2021. So we think that we're going to be able to get to the targets that they see, but we still have a long time to go, but we're going to be talking with them constantly and keeping them in touch with all the developments in the market of the company.
Thank you very much, Gianfranco.
The next question is from Isabella Vastantalon with Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the questions. I have a couple. So first on the wood panels market, Gianfranco, you mentioned that demand has remained very strong into October and November. But in the presentation, you said that you expect prices to remain stable in the coming months. I just wanted to see if you guys were able to implement price hikes, especially in Brazil, after, you know, demand started to pick up. And why do you see stable pricing if demand is so strong? Isn't there any more room to further increase prices, especially in Brazil, but also in other places in LATAM? And my second question on the hardwood pulp market, again, I just wanted to confirm, because my line cut off a bit. So you are more concerned or more cautious regarding the supply side of the equation. I just wanted to check with you if you have an insight of how high are the inventory levels at paper makers, and if that is the largest concern that you have currently. These are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, it could be a little bit confusing while we talk about stable prices, because we measure that in dollars. For example, in Brazil, we had had increases in reals, but since the exchange has depreciated, we have seen more stable prices in dollars. But we have been able to increase prices in Brazil, and we hope that we can continue doing that as demand is more strong. But we are cautious, and we're going month by month, testing the balance between being able to sell volume and getting a good pricing. So, but in Argentina, we have increased prices, of course, that is easier because the inflation is helping also, but also in Brazil. So there's some room as the capacity utilization of the industry is higher to raise prices. But that is something we have to evaluate product by product and market by market. In terms of our concerns for pulp, we are more concerned about hardwood because there's more supply, and as I talk, there's a big supplier that has 34% of the market that could make some noise depending on the strategy of selling. And of course, at the end of the day, the price of pulp will depend on the demand for the end products of pulp. So if our paper producers in China are being able to sell more and reduce the inventories, they're going to buy more pulp and feel more confident of delivering, asking for more volume. So we should be looking at the demand for the end products, printing and writing, container board. We have seen that in China things are doing okay. The economy is growing 4.5%. There's more demand internally as the market grows, children go back to school and demanding more textbooks, that thing should help to clear the channel of any excess inventory that could be on the producers or on the clients. So my only concern there is that it seems that there's a little bit more problem in terms of supply and demand because of the higher volume coming from hardwood. At the end of the day, all the increase in production has been done in hardwood. So all the big mills at a very low marginal cost also is in hardwood. Softwood, there's no additional capacity. The cost of production is higher, so it's easier to see good prices in softwood. But the good thing is that we have softwood, we have hardwood, we have dissolving pulp, we have unbleached, fluff pulp, so we are very well diversified. And also that since we are in pulp and panels, it has pay off to have a business of wood products that at this point is bringing more EBITDA than the pulp division.
That's clear. Thank you. If I may, just a follow-up. So as you mentioned, the fiber spread between softwood and hardwood is very high at the moment. Have you been registering any fiber substitution?
It's hard to see that. There's a lot of discussion about that. I mean, even in the Pulp Watch of Hawking Stride, this was an article about the substitution between hardwood and softwood. And there's a lot of theories over there. Some people say that the substitutions have already been made because of technical reasons. You know that when you mix softwood and hardwood, softwood helps you to run your machines faster, more stable. So there's a balance on that. And also, historically, the average has been like $80, but there's some arguments about structurally being more than that now, because now the difference between the marginal cost of producers is higher. So we have newer mills in hardwood and low-cost countries like Brazil, and no new production in softwood, and higher prices, higher cost in Northern Hemisphere. So that should help sustain higher average differences between softwood and hardwood. But I mean, those trends tend to move through the cycle, and we'll see if this happens. I hope that the trend goes back to normal by having hardwood prices go up, but we don't know yet.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Leopoldo Silva with LarrainVial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. First of all, I apologize if maybe any of my questions have been answered. I just could connect just a few minutes ago. So I have three questions, Gianfranco. First of all, is regarding growth. What would you see? Could you see Arauco 5 years from now growing? Which do you believe is the segment that will, besides MAPA, will you continue to invest after the deleveraging? And are panels maybe in the U.S., this idle capacity that I understand that you had closed in the U.S. because of supply and demand reasons, would that be kind of the first in line to be remodeled and to be put in place to grow over there? My second question is regarding your operating cash flows. So I see that your payment to suppliers went violently down, but I see that your payables and your inventory and your costs are mainly flat. So what's the reason for that, and is that sustainable? And lastly, is there any you mentioned the delay in MAPA because of this COVID reasons. If there are any costs, additional costs, how will you divide it between you and your suppliers? Because I've heard anecdotal information that your suppliers are saying that possibly Arauco will be the one to pay for this time. What could you say about the point? Thanks.
Well, I'll start from the third one. I mean, how we divide the costs between our suppliers, of course, is confidential, and that's between our contractors and us, and so I won't disclose how the negotiation went. Of course, we understand the extra cost that everyone had, them and us, and we negotiated the new timeline and the cost, and that is, of course, between us, so I won't disclose that part. And as I told you, anyhow, the extra cost is not significant. I mean, it is, of course, we haven't things we would have liked to avoid, but something that is not very significant because we have had some compensation between the exchange rate and things like that. Regarding operating cash flow, the other easy question. The trend moved around. I mean, probably it went down because we paid more on the fourth quarter, and the main movements in payments to suppliers are basically the payments that we do to our projects, to MAPA. Because the rest of our suppliers, we pay them on time. We don't have any overdues. I mean, so we're not managing the payment to suppliers to the money working capital. And I mean, probably the fourth quarter, you're going to see an increase. And so it's normal movements, and probably some big payments to MAPA suppliers. Construction companies are moving at the end of the month some of those numbers. And regarding growth, the clue here is that we are very focused on finishing our project. I mean, we decided as a company to have focus this year on being competitive, to complete our project. We have our hands full, and we are trying to concentrate at least for the rest for a year now to decrease our leverage, to complete the project on time, to have a very good execution without accidents, trying to take care of the health of our people because of this pandemic. And we will have time to think about the future. We have to deleverage. We have made that promise to the rating agencies that we're going to bring it back to normal levels. And the thing that we did for MAPA was to study once we were in a very good condition financially. So I think we're going to reach there and then think about the next step to continue building this company, because we have a condition to be a competitive and big company. So at that time, we will probably think about that. But the reality is that we are focused on the next year and doing a very good project.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question is from Kaidu Schmidt with UBS. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Gianfranco. Two questions on my side. First one on MAPA. Can you please share with us your estimates for production and sales coming from MAPA in 2021 and in 2022 as the mill ramps up? And then the second one on the Brazilian MDF market. You shared your views on the short term, and demand remains really healthy in this market, a bit different from what we saw in previous years, even before the pandemic. What is Arauco's role, if any, in a possible consolidation of the Brazilian MDF market that was suffering from oversupply before the pandemic? Thank you, Gianfranco.
Regarding MAPA, of course. I mean, we're gonna start producing, as I told you, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and we will have a ramp up that is normal with this kind of projects. I mean, in order to reach the normal capacity, the monthly capacity of this mill should be about 130,000 tons a month, and that you normally get it in around 4 to 6 months, I mean, to reach on a monthly basis. But most of the gains are obtained at the beginning. I mean, you go very fast to 78% because you cannot run the mill at a lower speed than that. So we think that we're gonna reach probably levels of about 70% of capacity in December of 2021. So that would mean that we will be probably producing 100,000 tons the last month, starting, of course, with low production in at the beginning of the quarter. But we should reach more or less that capacity. You can make the calculation of the total amount of production. Of course, it won't be very significant to move the market, and that's what we're seeing in some of the research published after the announcement of MAPA, that people are more optimistic of the future development of prices, because it's not going to be significant, the increase in supply of hardwood in 2021. Also remember that since we switched our Valdivia mill to producing this dissolving pulp, we have taken from the market a total of 550,000 tons of paper grade, which of those about half were hardwood. So probably 2021 is going to be the same, or probably a little bit less of paper grade coming at least from our side to the market. In terms of Brazil, we're experiencing a good capacity utilization. Of course, about a few months ago, we were experiencing very bad capacity utilization. So it's not enough to be so optimistic as to thinking of buying new companies. And we don't expect to do that. Remember that recently we bought two mills from Macisa. So we are currently, we have four mills in Brazil. And we are very happy that we are running them almost 100% now. But probably that's not going to be sustainable, at least 100% for the near future. we're not thinking of consolidation in Brazil this time. As I told before, we are concentrated in deleveraging and in having a good and successful project. So no thinking about any new M&A in the future, at least until we complete our project.
Great. Thanks, Gianfranco.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks everyone for attending this call. The next call will be next year as we publish the end of the year numbers, and that should be about March, middle March. So we hope that you guys can attend that call. And in the meantime, as always, any doubt, our IR team is available for any questions. So thanks, and talk to you in the next conference call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a nice day.